they will automatically bring everything.
Where did I hope there? So.
Yeah, yeah. No, no. They have. I was in the morning session.
Yeah, okay.
So no problem. Should I explain to you how have you made presentation?
No, no.
Forward and backward.
I gave a presentation.
Okay, so the forward backward thing. Okay, we will immediately start project.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm happy to welcome you to this session on the role of medical physics expert, qualified expert, radiation protection officer and expert in hospitals. I would like first to introduce my coach here, Dr. Madan Rehani, and this welcome the speakers for this afternoon session, Dr. Hardiman, presenting the European perspective, Dr. Iszewska, the international perspective, Dr. Peralta, the Asian perspective, and Dr. Kodlulovic Diaz, the Latin American perspective. And finally, Dr. Nakadude from Uganda, the African perspective. I would like to start with a short introduction from the IOMP side and hope...
Yeah, when you go there, they will start.
Okay. These are abbreviations. And what is behind these abbreviations? There are quite a lot of discussion in the last few years, and now new standards are coming up in several parts of the world, in particular in the international community with the basic safety standards. And for the medical physicists, I want to make clear from the IOMP perspective, there is a definition given in the IOMP policy statement number one that's available on our website. The medical physicists working in a clinical environment are health professionals with education and specialist training in the concepts and techniques of applying physics in medicine, competent to practice independently in one or more of the subfields of medical physics. And being here in the IRPA community, I want to emphasize that among the various subfields, here medical health physics and radiation protection in medicine is a subfield of the medical physicist as a health professional. To continue with the policy statement number one, there's a definition of the discipline medical physics as a branch of physics that is concerned with the application of physics concepts and techniques to the diagnosis and treatment of human diseases. The second policy statement of IOMP reflects the position of our organization on the education and training. Please keep in mind that the IOMP is a global acting organization, and therefore we have to make compromises between countries of different levels. And so we IOMP can just set some principles or some frame where we are encouraging the countries to maneuver. And the medical physicists, as health professionals, shall demonstrate competency in their discipline by obtaining the appropriate educational qualification and clinical competency training in one or more subfields of medical physics. This is particularly in different phases. The first one is the basic knowledge of the other subfields. No, it needs to emphasize that a medical physicist normally acts in many subfields or more than one subfield. But the medical physicist is always challenged to have a broad knowledge in other subfields than his specialty. Medical physicists practicing in hospitals and clinical environments shall also participate in a continual professional development program. That's very important and similar to other professions in the healthcare. The policy statement number two specifies a bit the requirements on education and training from our perspective. It is recommended or required a university degree or equivalent majoring in physics or an appropriate engineering science subject when starting to become a medical physicist. And these are two phases. The fundamental phase is a bachelor in science in physics or equivalent in physics and engineering, and completing this education, there is a postgraduate program at a master's degree level in medical physics or equivalent degree in physics, engineering, science subjects. So these are these two phases up to the master. And then the professional recognition of the medical physicist proceeds in two levels. The basic education by validation and accreditation of master science courses, and the second level, the basic education plus the professional training program by a certification through a national or international body. The requirements concerning the professional training of a medical physicist include clinical competency training program, formal residency or clinical training program under supervision of a certified or licensed medical physicist in that field. I am quite aware that this is particularly the bottleneck of the training to have sufficient and enough positions for these residency program for the medical physicists. The minimum duration should not be less than 2 years full-time equivalent for a single field. And if one adds some other subfields like nuclear medicine or radiodiagnostics or even radiation protection, of course, then additionally 1 year per subfield is recommended. Appropriate syllabi are available from different sources, and the International Atomic Energy Agency, also the IOMP, promoted Emerald Project, and many other national organizations like the APM, for instance. Very important from our perspective is the state regulation of the medical physics health professional. If there is no state regulation, then we can hardly expect any standardization and any coordinated improvement of the medical physics application and the medical physics support in the clinic. And the most important step was starting in 2009, when we had an agreement with the International Labour Organization, and the International Labour Organization recognized for the first time the occupation of a medical physicist, and you find that on the internet under the International Standard Classification of Occupations 2008, the ISCU 08, and there is a list of tasks, because this is the style of the ILO to define occupations via the tasks. And here, from the long list of tasks, there is ensuring the safe and effective delivery of radiation ionizing and non-ionizing to patients to achieve a diagnostic or therapeutic result as prescribed by a medical practitioner. The medical physicists in the ILO, in the ISCO classification scheme, are found under the physics and astronomers group. In the second most important standard is the recently published interim version of the radiation protection and safety of radiation sources, the International Basic Safety Standard, the BSS. Comparing the terms used and promoted by IOMP and applied in the BSS, there's nearly no difference between the definition of the medical physicists in the IOMP and in the BSS. We very much acknowledge our cooperation with the IAEA in this respect. And there is, in, as I emphasized already, a subfield radiation protection included in the medical physics education and training, and there is a special term used in the BSF, the radiation protection officer. That is a person technically competent in radiation protection matters for a given type of practice. Typically, it's a sub-task, so to say, which in many hospitals are covered by medical physicists. Then the next step or the highest qualification is the certified medical physicist. The certified medical physicist is a medical physicist who has been certified by a national or an international professional certification body to have the competence to practice independently in one or more subfields of medical physics. And this corresponds clearly the more general term used in the BSS, a qualified expert. And there are qualified experts in medical physics, and there are qualified experts in radiation protections, for instance, and this is very much the same and no significant differences. So to become a qualified expert in radiation protection, this requires typically a special extra training and which is not included in the normal qualification of a medical physicist, except he has passed this additional education of 1 year. With this short review of the terminology and the actual status of the medical physics expert in the clinical environment, I want to thank you for listening, and I want to mention the contribution and acknowledge the contribution of my colleagues in the IOMP Executive Committee. I thank you very much.
Thank you, Professor Nuslin. While you come here to take seat, I can mention that we'll keep the questions for the end. And in the meantime, we can start with the next presenter, European Perspective, given by Dr. Hardiman.
Good afternoon, everyone. I'm going to speak to you today on the role of the medical physicist expert, the qualified expert, the RPE, whichever one of these terms that we're going to adopt in hospitals. And this is a European perspective, and I'm speaking here today on behalf of EFOMP, which is the European Federation of Organisations for Medical Physics. So the European Federation of Organisations for Medical Physics was founded in London in 1980, and we represent 35 national member organisations, or NMOs, and three affiliated organisations, representing approximately 5,000 medical physicists in Europe, the majority of whom are working with ionising radiation. So the mission of the Federation is firstly to harmonize and advance medical physics, both in professional, clinical, and scientific expression throughout Europe. And by doing this, we want to strengthen and make more effective the activities of the NMOs by bringing about and maintaining systematic exchange by professional and scientific information. And one of our main aims, and this is particularly relevant today at this conference, is the formulation of common policies and promoting education training programs. So to achieve the objectives of the mission, we have a number of objectives, but I think one of the most important, again, is this encouraging exchange between the member organizations and looking at publications, and we promote meetings as well. We encourage scholarship, and we also propose guidelines for education, training, and accreditation programs, and that's going to be the main focus of today's talk. We also make recommendations, and we have made recommendations about the role of the medical physics expert and the medical physicist. So our main areas of activity, although not our exclusive areas of activity, but for today's talk, are diagnostic and interventional radiology, which takes in CT, amongst other things, interventional cardiology. Nuclear medicine is another area, with examples of PET CT, and radionuclide therapy. Radiation oncology is another large area representing a lot of our members, and here we'd have areas such as intensity-modulated radiotherapy, IMRT, and brachytherapy using iodine-125 and iridium sources, for example. But we also have MPEs providing services in many other areas of medicine, ranging from dentistry to neurology. So we've just had an overview of the international medical physics, and we're looking now to more of a European level. So our European legislation, as it stands at the moment, and our definitions of medical physics and qualified experts come from, obviously, the same international publication, the ICRP 60. In Europe, that has then been taken down the level of the European Council, and there have been two major directives produced from this, which are the Euratom directives 9629 and 9743. One of these directives is the basic safety standards of protection of workers and the general public and defines the qualified expert, and the other directive is the medical exposures directive, which deals with the health protection of individuals in relation to medical exposure. So we've split up the recommendations. And the second directive defines the role of the medical physics expert. Then from those European directives, we come down into every member of the European Union then has to take the directive and take it down into their own national legislation. In the UK, for example, we've had two separate pieces of legislation, one dealing with radiation protection of the workers and the general public, and a second piece of legislation dealing with the medical exposure relating to the patient. So how is the qualified expert defined? The qualified expert is defined in the European legislation as somebody having knowledge and training which needed to carry out physical, technical, or radiochemical tests, enabling doses to be assessed, to give effective advice. And the qualified expert, and this is very important for us, is recognized by the competent authorities. And a qualified expert may be assigned the technical responsibility for tasks of radiation protection of workers and members of the public. So we have that split in definition. We have the second directive, which is the medical directive, which is on the health protection of individuals against the dangers of ionizing radiation in relation to medical exposure. And from this directive, we have the medical physics expert, or the MPE, who is an expert in radiation physics or radiation technology applied to exposure with responsibility for radiation protection of patients. Now, from these two pieces of legislation, which have been adopted slightly differently in different countries within the European Union, EFOMP has come together and created what's called the Malaga Declaration, to give some guidance as to how medical physicists should incorporate these two pieces of legislation into their practice in the hospital. So it defines the medical physics expert, as defined in the directive, must be a professional to supervise and assume the responsibility of radiation protection activities in the hospital, including patients, working staff, members of the public, and visitors to the hospital. So this is a declaration that's been made by EFOM, signed up to by all the NMOs within EFOMP, stating that the medical physicist must be involved in all aspects of radiation protection within the medical environment. And the Malaga Declaration goes on to say that medical physicists shall have a formal education and training in radiation protection, that they should be able to have the necessary skills to manage the equipment used in hospital to produce and detect radiation, and they'll have a long practical training in hospitals. They are regarded by their clinical professionals as the specialists who can facilitate the safe use of radiation in hospitals. So not exclusively the radiation of the patient. The radiation protection of patients, staff, and hospital visitors is interconnected, and I think all of us who work in a medical environment would endorse that. So the Malaga Declaration is the declaration that defines EFOMP's stance on the role of the medical physicist in the hospital. We now go on to the more recent publication 103 of the ICRP and the recommendations on eye doses of April 2011. And from these international recommendations, there is now a draft Euratom Basic Safety Standards Directive. This directive now incorporates the Council directive that looked at public radiation protection of public and workers, and the Council directive that looks at the radiation protection of the patient. So we've got within this new basic safety standards, which is in draft form at the moment, we have a definition of the radiation protection expert, the RPE, and the medical physics expert within the same directive. From this stance, the European Council then commissioned a project to develop guidelines on the medical physics expert. And the current status as of May 2012 is that these guidelines that have been through various iterations are currently with the Article 31 Euratom Treaty Group of Experts. And we will be anticipating the adoption of the basic safety standards sometime in the near future. And those basic standards will then be incorporated further down into national legislation. So the draft basic safety standard definitions of the medical physics expert differs slightly from the original or the current definition of the medical physics expert, the MPE. It's an individual having knowledge, training, and experience, and that's a new term that's come into the directive or the draft directive, to act in advice to giving matters relating to radiation physics applied to medical exposure and whose competence to act is recognised by the competent authorities. The radiation protection expert is actually a definition that is very close to the current definition of the qualified expert in the current legislation. But again, there's been addition of the knowledge, training and experience. So in the draft version of the BSS, the MPE is somebody who shall take responsibility for dosimetry, give advice on medical equipment, and in particular, they'll have responsibility for the optimization of the radiation protection of patients, which is as the definition of the MPE is currently, the surveillance of medical radiological installations with regard to radiation protection, the selection of equipment required to perform radiation protection measurements, and the training of practitioner and other staffs in relevant aspects of radiation protection. So the MPE project, which is an EU Commission project, has produced guidelines. Its remit was produced guidelines. We've just looked at some of them. One of the roles is to facilitate the harmonisation of the MPE among the member states. So we're looking at the possibility of member professionals from member states moving to other member states. So we need to have some form of common understanding of the role of the MPE. So the mission statement of the MPE project is, I think, and this is an overriding statement that I think we should never lose sight of, is that medical physics service should contribute to maintaining and improving the quality, safety, and cost-effectiveness of healthcare. And it outlines particularly diagnostic and interventional radiology, nuclear medicine, and radiation oncology as the three areas it will concentrate on. The education and training, we're looking at harmonisation of education and training, which is a very important strand of this project. There has been a qualification framework for lifelong learning, the European Qualification Framework, and the MPE has been defined as the high-level medical physicist. So it acknowledges a first-level medical physicist and a higher-level medical physics expert. And a medical physics expert becomes an MPE after a further advanced education and training and experience, again, this emphasis on experience. And the MPE has been defined as the EQF level 8 of the professional framework. And on this rather busy slide, I just draw your attention to the medical physicist with an education level of 6 and 7, then clinical training and an accredited training centre, advanced experience and CPD before we have recognition as an MPE. Curricula have been developed. There are, as I'm sure you're all aware, there are a number of posters on display today about various different European projects looking at education and training. And as my time is running out, one of the things EFOMP is doing is developing and has developed a system of European accreditation of training schemes. And within that, a very important fact that we want to emphasise and develop is the necessity for CPD. Once an MPE or an RPE has achieved their status through education training experience, the next step, and a very important step, is the maintenance of competence. So many of the national registration schemes include CPD as a requirement for renewal of registration, and the MPE project recommends that CPD should be included as a requirement for all national schemes. So I think finally, just to say that this emphasis that we mustn't lose sight of is that we're all here to improve the quality, safety, and cost effectiveness of our healthcare systems through patient-orientated activities requiring expert action, involvement, or advice. Thank you very much.
So I want to continue with the next speaker. That's Dr. Asamgre from from the International Atomic Energy Agency.
Good afternoon. I'm going to talk to you about the inter-regional project on harmonization of medical physicists' roles, responsibilities in radiation medicine. I'll start off by mentioning that worldwide there's a shortage of physicists. And from an international point of view, the agency recognizes this. And the other issue is the role of medical physicists is not clearly understood or, in some cases, not recognized. And especially for the developing member states, there's lack of clear education, especially the clinical component of the training for medical physicists. And again, in many countries, the profession is not recognized. So the IAEA Board of Governors approved a project to run between 2009 and 2013 to strengthen medical physics in radiation medicine. And these projects involved stakeholders from professional organizations involved in medical physics to ensure effective and safe delivery of radiation. The project objectives is One of them is to define internationally endorsed roles and responsibilities of medical physicists and outline minimum requirements for education and training. And the emphasis here is to ensure that the clinical component of the training is addressed. The other aim of the project is to identify gaps in the training programs and to develop teaching material in order to harmonize the training for medical physicists. And the other objective is to raise awareness and recognition. This is, if you look at the developing nations, this is already done. Most national bodies recognize the profession, but if you look at globally, especially in developing member states, the profession is not clearly recognized, and they're using ionizing radiation for treating patients and diagnosis. The group met in 2009 and split into different working groups looking at specific aspects, training, awareness, and currently there's a draft version of the report that hopefully will be published later this year. So what I've done is I've taken what the group has agreed as harmonized roles and responsibilities for what they call a clinically qualified medical physicist. So this emphasizes that the clinical component of the training has been achieved. And what they've done is they've grouped roles of clinically qualified medical physicists that are common to all medical physics areas. And these include calibration and verification of measurement instruments, supervision of routine maintenance of equipment, ensuring that after repair, equipment is checked before used for treating patients, responsible for maintaining records. These include records of dose calculations or verifications of patient treatments, calibration of equipment, and a qualified clinical medical physicist also needs to be competent in computing so that at least they can advise on whether, if it's a diagnostic procedure, whether the image is appropriate quality, and so they need to be familiar with the computing aspects of. They're also responsible for research and development as part of a team, and also in education and training. Then they also came up with roles that are specific to the different disciplines in medical physics, radiotherapy, nuclear medicine, diagnostic and interventional radiotherapy, and radiation protection. Although the group was looking at ionizing radiation, they also decided to include MRI and ultrasound to complete the... So specific roles, they are similar, but the details themselves will be slightly different. Optimization of physical aspects of the procedures, collaboration with other professions in the different disciplines, oncologists, radiographers, nurses, is part of as a key member of the team. Radiation safety and protection of the patients and staff and general public. Responsible for quality management of the physical and technical aspects of the area. So this will include ensuring that there are protocols for different procedures and that these protocols are reviewed regularly and records are kept. They are also responsible for patient dosimetry and design and shielding calculations for facilities housing these ionizing radiation equipment. In addition to harmonizing these roles, the group also looked at staffing in general. In, especially in developing countries, the level of support from medical physics is not matching the equipment. So you'd see places where they have cobot 60 unit or linear accelerator and no qualified physicist. And they've also looked at recommendations on the training, academic and clinical training of a qualified medical physicist. What the group has done is they've conducted a large international survey to look at the current status of medical physics worldwide. And based on that, and drawing from experiences of organizations like IOMP, IPM, AWPM, they've come up with qualifications needed to become a clinically qualified medical physicist. They've also looked at accreditation, whether being it national or international accreditation, certification, and as the last speaker was saying, they've also recognized that it's very important to maintain competence when someone is qualified. And they've also looked at issues like professional ethics. This slide here is showing what the, as I mentioned, the draft form of the report is currently in circulation, and hopefully this will be published later this year. There are two pathways. If you have a physics degree, this needs to be 3 to 4 years, then followed by a postgraduate training program in medical physics. This followed by clinical training under supervision of a senior qualified medical physicist. Then after that training, you become a clinically qualified medical physicist, and certification follows, then CPD to maintain this competence. I'm also just going to mention briefly what the IAEA is doing to support training and education in general in medical physics. We have publications in clinical training of medical physicists in nuclear medicine, diagnostic radiology, and radiation oncology. And for radiation oncology, there's also a handbook that goes with the program for training. And the idea is for all the other areas, handbooks will be developed for students and teachers. And these documents are also translated to official UN languages. And this group is also looking at producing a syllabus for academic training that harmonizes the different requirements from different organizations and different nations, so that there's a common syllabus for training medical physicists. In terms of CPD, the IAEA, jointly with the International Center for Theoretical, they provide the fellowships or grants for students ranging from newly qualified physicists to experienced physicists to maintain their competence. And typically in a year, around 10 regional training courses are organized, where we are drawing from the expertise of international organizations for the lecturers to present these teaching materials. That's it. Thank you for listening.
Thank you very much, Dr. Asamgwe. And we are going ahead with Dr. Peralta. She is presenting the Asian perspective. Please.
Thank you. Good afternoon. I'm actually presenting the Asia and Asia plus Australia and New Zealand, because they're part of the Asia-Oceania Congress of Federation of Organizations for Medical Physics. So here is a picture of some Asians and Australasians, except for somebody who's from Britain, who shouldn't be in the picture. Okay, I have 5 parts in this presentation. 3 organizations were actually respondents in the in the survey that I conducted, the Asia-Oceania Federation, the Middle East Federation of Organizations for Medical Physicists, and the Southeast Asian Federation of Organizations for Medical Physicists. And they all agreed that I would be presenting the results of the survey. These were the countries that actually responded to the survey. So we have from Asia and Australia, New Zealand, and the Middle East. Only 18, however, responded to the survey that I had sent. This was the form I used. The first two questions pertained to the IBSS pertinent provisions on the medical physics expert. And there are 18 countries, but some countries had more than one respondent. So I have 23 respondents who all agreed with the indicated provisions of the new IBSS. So they're all in the IBSS. And for the tasks, there is a provision in the IBSS which says that the task should be performed by suitably qualified medical physicists. Now notice 14 said yes of the respondents, but 5 said no, and this pertains to the one on the medical health physics or the radiation protection function. And the third question pertained to a list of tasks that I copied from the scope of practice of the American Association of Physicists and Medicine, and I just asked the respondents to just tick off the yes or no, and some of them, however, wrote comments. So let's see what those are. Okay, vis-a-vis the acceptance of the new IBSS, the questions 1 and 2, of course, majority were for the IBSS of IEA, and except for the 5 who said that not, you don't really need a suitably qualified medical physicist for the radiation protection portion. Again, majority was for it. Now for question number 3, which actually consisted of a list of tasks, the number of respondents are seen here, yes on the left and no on the right. And since it's a very detailed list of tasks, you can just go through them quickly. Serves as the institution's radiation safety officer, serves in the radiation safety committee, etc. So that's the general one, including risk management, quality assurance, and professional staff development. For diagnostic medical physics, 21 agreed to develop that the responsibility would include developing specifications for equipment and radiation detectors. 20, as against 1, agreed that you develop procedures for initial and continuing evaluation of imaging equipment and diagnostic radiation detectors, and so on down the line. That's for diagnostic medical physics and more. I'd like to point out, however, for the third task here, 12 of the respondents agreed that the medical physicist in this department, or in the, doing the task of the diagnostic medical physicist, should be involved in development and evaluation of policies and procedures related to appropriate clinical use of radiation for imaging purposes, but 11 disagreed. And you have to understand, Asia is so big, plus Australia and New Zealand, so there are different levels of development of medical physics in all the countries of Asia and Australia and New Zealand. So the 11 there would pertain to countries that have not exactly been developed to the same extent as, say, Australia or New Zealand. Now, 19 versus 1 said they also review diagnostic imaging information noted in the patient records. So diagnostic medical physics has a long list of tasks, and in most of them, majority agreed. In fact, in all of them, all the respondents, majority agreed. Again, there is for number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, the sixth one, there is a lot more no's vis-a-vis provision of institutional consultation on program development and diagnostic imaging. And as I said, this may be the status in some of the countries that have said no vis-a-vis this task. But for planning and specifying thickness, material, and placement of shielding needed to protect patients, workers, general public, and the environment from radiation produced incident to diagnose. You've got 16 versus 1. By the way, not all the respondents answered with a yes or a no for some tasks. Several of them just left the yes or no blank. So that's why they will never add up to the total number of respondents. Okay. Again, diagnostic medical physics, there's a lot more there in the list. Now, informatics development up there, only 12 are involved, 6 are not. Or agreed, but 6 do not agree. Now let's go to nuclear medicine physics. Again, everyone, majority agreed with the tasks listed, very detailed tasks, including provision of evidence of compliance of nuclear imaging and radioactivity measurement equipment with regulatory, professional, and accreditation rules and recommendations. And these are the rest. And again, they all agreed, except for one or two, who said no, that they should not be tasks of a nuclear medicine physicist. Very long, so I won't go into the details because I know we're running out of time. Now, for onco-medical physics, radiation oncology medical physics, in the form it's called therapeutic medical physics, this has, again, a lot of majority. All of them say, majority are saying yes. What's interesting is the one, two, three, four, five. The sixth one approves radiation oncology technical procedures prior to clinical use. There were two who said no. So again, that reflects their condition in their country. And then for here, 21 agreed that you develop and evaluate with the medical practitioner the dosimetric component of patients' treatment plans. And this is, for me, very interesting because you develop and evaluate with the medical practitioner the dosimetric component of patients' treatment plans. That means that, really, the way we see it, the medical physicist is the equal of the medical specialist, whether in radiation oncology, nuclear medicine, or diagnostic radiology. So this, for me, in therapeutic medical physics or radiation oncology medical physics is something very, very important because this really means that the doctor, especially the radiation oncologists, agree, because one presumes this is the practice in the countries of the respondents, agree that they cannot do without the medical physicist, especially vis-a-vis the dosimetric component of their procedure. Okay, a lot more tasks of a therapeutic medical physicist. And again, except for the one for informatics development, where five say no, they're not involved in it. Now, medical health physics, everyone agreed, the ones who ticked off the yes and the no, that for medical health physics, planning, specifying thickness, material, etc., tasks of the medical physicists in the medical health physics area. So they've got all of these, including developing radiation protection equipment specifications, provision of radiation protection training for medical practitioners and other healthcare providers, fulfilling the responsibilities of medical radiation safety officer or supervisor. So in bar chart form, you've got this, the medical physicist as an RSO, the blue one means yes, the red one means no. So again, majority said yes. So that's very nice. We all agree. However, some people had specific comments. I want to quote them. The guy on the extreme left is the respondent. He's the president of our organization. He says, in a big hospital, we must employ a separate medical physicist to do the radiation safety officer tasks. He must not be assigned the task of a clinical medical physicist to ensure check and balance, and that will help free the clinical medical physicist from many administrative tasks related to regulation. From Australia, Dr. Brian Thomas is the guy seated in the middle. He says the role of a medical health physicist is part of the duties of either the radio-onco medical physicist, the diagnostic radiology medical physicist, or the nuclear medicine medical physicist. From Professor Jerwani Suharto of Indonesia, she's the lady in orange in the middle. She says the role of a medical health physicist, the role of medical health physics in diagnostic radiology is still questionable, quote unquote. For Camilla, who's a nuclear medicine medical physicist from Bangladesh, her responses pertain to, for number one, for the diagnostic medical physics, we did not fill it up because no physicist works in this discipline in her country. So in Bangladesh, there's still no diagnostic radiology medical physicist. For number two, the one for nuclear medicine, only one yellow marked question is no. Number three, her response is on the basis of her consideration of radio-onco medical physics. And number four, only one yellow mark is no. For Brunei, there is only, as far as I know, only one medical physicist in the whole of Brunei, and that's Miss Emily Voon. And she said, for the 3.2, the first one, she says, sometimes for specifications, biomedical engineers chip in here. For acceptance testing, etc., she says, some centers use private companies to do the acceptance testing, evaluation, and commissioning. For evaluation of policies related to a problem, she says, this is a regulatory task, question mark. And for shielding, again, they do assess and they submit to the regulatory agency. And for the last one, for informatics development, sometimes biomedical engineers chip in here. For nuclear medicine, she said yes, but you said biomedical engineers chip in here. And again, for the last one, well, you develop or evaluate comprehensive radiation safety programs in nuclear medicine. She submits them to the regulatory agency. Dr. Blair Steer of New Zealand said, yes, for therapeutic medical physics, develop and evaluate the dosimetry component, but also with the radiation therapist. In my country, we call the radiation therapist the radiation therapy technologist. Okay, and then for the second one, they do the QM program with other professionals, radio-onco professionals. And for the last one, he didn't understand the question, but he says we don't use them clinically, but we'll be involved in commissioning and QA. So these are the respondents, all 26 from the 18 countries. Thank you very much, and this is Artar Sier.
Thank you very much, Dr. Peralta. And now we are coming to the perspective of Latin America, Dr. Kodlulovic Diaz.
Thank you very much, Dr. Nusslin, Dr. Rehani. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Now I wanted to give a presentation about the Latin American perspective, but focus on the reality of our region. Well, first of all, it's important to do introduction. I know that most of you know about the region, but it's important to consider some general data about the population, the presentation of the population of Latin America regarding to the world population, and also important, the Human Development Index. Why I'm talking about this? Because it's very important for us when we are talking about medical physicists and education and training. We have to see our reality, the problems that we have in the region. So here, the first of all, and that we have to consider, is the percentage of children or people who go to the school or who start and have to go out for any problem, and the percentage of never will have chance to go to the school. So we have important here to consider that we have still children out of the school. This is one point, because if we want to go to the medical physicist, we have to have a very good basic scholarity. So here in 2007, it was estimated that the number of medical physicists in Latin America should be around 500. But in and now in 2000, my question is, how many do we really need to attend to the needs of all clinical institutions of the region? Okay, we said 500, but is really a number correct for 2007 and for now? Which number it's adequate here? Well, here I have a list of the countries of Latin America and the population. And so we have to consider the difference of the number and the difference of problems and also opportunities that each country has. And so it's a huge diversity that we have here in the region. And the problem, the first problem that we have is, although we have 27 countries, we have only 8 associations for medical physics associations. Here, it's a list, a table that you have the distribution, estimation of the distribution of the equipment in diagnostic radiology, radiotherapy, and nuclear medicines for each country, and also in the right, the number of medical physicists who is working now in these places. What's the first consideration that we have to do here? First, it's not easy to get this data, especially in diagnostic radiology. There are estimation, but we don't have sure about these numbers. All the countries said the same. That is very difficult to quantify exactly the number of diagnostic radiology services we have. It's not the same for radiotherapy and nuclear medicine because we have different legislation and different controls. So it's a little bit more restrictive. So we can have more confidence in these numbers. But what we have here, it's not numbers only. We have the complexity of equipment. So we already have the new technology installed in the region. That's the point. But we still don't have medical physicists in all the service. So I am very concerned about that because you cannot have zero medical physicists in places that you have sophisticated technology. You have cyclotron, you have PET-CT, you have CT, you have all this new equipment, but you don't have medical physicists working there. So in many places, especially in diagnostic radiology and nuclear medicine, the number is very, very low. Radiotherapy, as always, is quite better in this situation. Some countries didn't give the answer, so we still are working on this survey to have more more numbers and to try to estimate better this situation. So, considering all that was talking about what should be a medical physicist. In Latin America, medical physicists, when we have one in the country, they work in all areas, clinical, academical research. Education, it's a huge diversity also because we have all this kind of education. You can have the higher level or not the level that you require for this issue. So all these areas we have in Latin America. And another preoccupation is about the certification process. So we have, when we have these medical physicists and when they have some education in the field, what about the certification process? Is he really prepared for work in medical physics? What have we done so far in Latin America? What we have done in certification? So it's only a few countries who developed a certification process. So it's difficult to work with all these differences. So, as you could see, qualified medical physicists, it's insufficient in number and also the level of qualification. And of course, especially concern about the clinical practice. So, if in 2007 we identified that 100% more physicists should have, again, which is the number, because we have development that increase a lot the number of equipment and the complexity of this that have a very big impact in the region. So, of course, we have this participation of PAHO and also IAEA, who give us some development in this education area, but still the number of education program has increased, but it still is insufficient for the demand. So here's a list of countries who develop a master course, and only two have a PhD. And we have also different courses. This is master in radiation protection, and then they do the thesis in medical physics. So all of this complement the education. So if we don't have a certification of the medical physics, we also don't have a recognized institution. Is the institution that we have implement the course really comply with all the requirements that we are talking about these days? We are not sure about that. Okay. And so we should look about this minimum curriculum. And also, if there are a curriculum adequate, are they applied? Okay, so I have to go faster. And here is the distribution of the courses. And again, the problem of the certification, that we have not established a certification program. In Brazil, we have, but still we need to update and improve according to the new recommendations. We have regulatory bodies for medical physics, Ministry of Health, and nuclear regulatory commissions. They have different criteria, legislations, and competences for the, for all these fields. So sometimes we have conflicts during inspections, audits, and so on. So our main challenges is the implementation of criteria, recommendations, and certification in Latin America. To verify the certification process in all the countries, accreditation of the institutions, and the code of ethics. So what's the tendency that we expect? It's the increasing of the radiation equipment and technology and lack of specialists will be a problem that will be increased if we don't do anything for this. And here it's my main concern that now no qualified person are carrying out medical physics activities. It's not their function and they are doing this, not preparing and doing. So improving national legislation, because if you improve your legislation, maybe you have to, you are obligated to do something about the course and to obligate the hospital to have medical physics as a staff. So increasing number of medical physics research. Well, just to end this presentation, I would like to say that raining or not, cold or not, Scotland is a very wonderful country. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Simone. And now the last speaker is Rebecca Nakature from Uganda, bringing us the perspective from Africa.
Thank you, Prof. Those are my designations, and I'm going to be presenting on the role of medical physics expert, qualified expert, radiation protection officer in hospitals, and then this is the African perspective. Before I start, actually in Africa we have a problem whereby these terminologies have been confused and they are used to mean the same. So we really have to clear this out from the standard published documents so that people know who is who and then which role each plays. I'm here on behalf of FAMPO, and then FAMPO is the youngest federation of the International Organization of Medical Physicists, and it's the Federation of African Medical Physics Organization, which was established on 7th October 2008 with the aims of improved quality service to patients and the community in Africa. And then we have cooperation and then communication between medical physics and where we have such organization governing medical physics between individual organizations. And then it's to promote professional and practice of medical physics and then related activities in Africa. And then to look at the advancement in the status and standard of practice of medical physics profession. It's also looking at improving the training of medical physicists in Africa, looking at research development and developing in the field of medical physics, and then looking into appropriate use of technology to benefit the rural population, because most of us really want to work in the urban, we don't want to work in the remote areas. And the areas of safety in those remote centers are really unknown to us. Then it's also looking at collaborating and of course affiliating with scientific organizations. Already we are a young organization of IOMP, and then we are affiliating with IRIPA. That's why I'm here on behalf of FAMPO. And of course, it's a non-profit-making organization. So those are the executive members with Dr. Ahmed Sadiq from Morocco as the current president, myself, Rebecca Nakatude from Uganda as the VP, and Dr. Khalid from Egypt, the treasurer, and then Dr. Ige from Nigeria as our treasurer. Currently, FAMPO has about 48 medical physicists registered. Of course, in addition, we are having different organizations from Ghana, South Africa, Nigeria, and Tanzania, which have actually expressed interest in registering with FAMPO. And currently, IOMP has taken us up as a young association on that fora, and then we are so far having a website. We can be found on that website. You can log on and then get the details that are upcoming on FAMPO. Then we are making a submission during the Beijing deliberations on our letterhead, and then FAMPO, of course, is participating in sponsoring AFRIPA, which is going to take place in Morocco. To analyze what exactly goes on in Africa, we went ahead as FAMPO executive to look into a research which was conducted, and the objectives of this research was to identify the training gaps of the medical physics qualified expert and RPO in radiation protection and safety when managing practices in medical practices, and then to look at countries with recognized bodies governing medical physics in Africa. Do we have these bodies governing medical physics so that we have a fora? And then we are looking at the current situation analysis of the communication between the regulators, radiation protection officers, who in this case are coming from the regulator bodies and who are very associated to IRIPA, and then the medical physicists who are associated to IOMP and then FAMPO. Then we are looking at the level of involvement of medical physicists and then the regulators. How far have these regulators and medical physicists participated in managing safety and protection in medical practices? And then we are looking at the challenges which are faced by these medical physicists and then regulators when practicing in medical practices. Here we looked at basically two questionnaires. One was designed and then it was addressed to 11 participating medical physicists during AFROGO conference held in Uganda around February. And then we had 11 participants that participated in the questionnaire. And then we had another questionnaire addressed to 25 regulators, stroke RPOs, from 15 countries that participated in the AFRA regional AFRA training course for trainers in the use of ICT teaching material, which was held in Botswana during the same period, and those are the countries that participated. And then a questionnaire was used to collect the data in line with the objectives which were addressed by FAMPO. When you look at actually our results, we can comfortably tell that from the first questionnaire addressed to the medical physicist, we can see the blue, which corresponds to the qualifications of PhD holders for medical physics, and then the master's level, and then the BS. When you compare the two graphs, you can see that we have a uniform distribution for the radiation protection officers on the second graph. As compared to the medical physics, we have actually a very big range between the least qualified and the most qualified. So we are really analyzing that this can be a real problem in the continuity in the field of medical physics, because once you have a very big gap between the over-qualified and the under-qualified, what's going to happen after there? Due to natural calamities, these highly qualified can disappear, and then we don't know really what's going to happen. And this is the question addressed to FAMPO. We really have to get a solution for Africa. And then when you look at the RPOs, you can see there's actually a uniform distribution of the qualification. And FAMPO should really look at these highly qualified medical physicists and highly qualified radiation protection officers so that we can have local training in Africa, because it's a cheaper way to manage training in Africa rather than sending one person maybe to USA and then takes all the money. So if we identify these highly qualified people, we can really have a cheaper way of training in Africa. And then when we looked at the working experience of the medical physicists and regulators, as you can see still from the two graphs, we are having a divergence. We have those medical physicists who have worked for between 21 years and 40, and then we have those ones who have worked for 5 years. Actually, there's also a problem still with the medical physicists as compared to the RPOs, because we have a very big group, who are a small group which has worked for a very long time, and I think there's a gap in training. Because why not have a uniform distribution between the less experienced and then the more experienced? So we really have to look into this as FAMPO. And then we realize that most of the training centers in Africa for training medical physicists are lying in South Africa and then North Africa. So what's happening in East Africa and West Africa? This is FAMPO's activity to address in our work plan. And then when you look at the training centers, where these existing medical physicists and RPOs have trained, you realize from the two graphs that for medical physicists, most of the medical physicists have trained from outside Africa, and less have trained from within Africa. Whereas for the RPOs, actually a majority of them have trained from Africa. What does this have to do? We are actually finding out that training medical physics is very expensive as compared to train RPOs. And we are having many training centers for RPOs, but then there's a divergence in the content, because you find some RPOs qualified in engineering, and then some qualified in physics, some qualified in chemistry or physics. Then there has been a challenge when it comes to radiotherapy center inspection and licensing, because these RPOs have not got an expertise in handling inspection of radiotherapy centers. So we are of the view as FAMPO that why not regulatory bodies and radiation protection associations to employ medical physicists, people with medical physics background, so that this is really captured? Or why don't we increase the training of medical physics, that at one time there's a medical physicist who's working with the regulators to harmonize the inspection at the facility? For all the countries that participated, actually, all countries have a law governing the use of ionizing radiation. And these are IAA member states. However, it was recognized from the RPOs. They were not sure whether they have a body to register them as a qualification. And then for For the 11 participants and then the 25 regulators, they all indicated to have a law. And of course, the bodies governing the use of radiation in their respective countries. But are these bodies functional? This is why IRIPA, through the local representation of associations of radiation protection, should work hand in FAMPO, because our task is the same. And the aim and objective of all of us here is actually the same, is safety and protection in whatever practice you're looking at.
Excuse me, one minute.
Okay. Please. Then when you look at the recognition of profession bodies governing and then registering medical physics, that's what we have. For medical physics, actually, we had two perspectives, a perception of the 11 participating medical physicists and then a perception of the 25 RPOs. And then we are seeing comparable results whereby very few countries have bodies governing medical physics. And this is FAMPO's task to have. Then we looked at the communication links among medical physics, facility managers and regulators. Remember here, managers should be key people in managing safety and protection, because once they don't concede, then whatever we do down here is going to be neglected. So the responses indicate that there's less collaboration between the hospital managers, and this has hindered funding in the profession of medical physics and then the way we execute our work. So stakeholders should be brought on board. And then when you look at the communication links among medical physics, and then that we are having a correspondence for excellence, very good, fairly good, fair, and then not involved at all. You can see we are having not involved at all of 18%. And this is a risk in radiation protection. If these medical physicists are not participating in the hospital work, then what's the safety precautions in those hospitals? This is a question to worry as FAMPO. And then when you look at the involvement of the body sensitizing hospital managers, how far have the regulators gone to sensitize the activities of the regulatory bodies to the hospital managers? Still, we are having non-uniform correspondences, and that's what we have. I think we are running out of time. But then we have different challenges, as you see. And then I really have to acknowledge the following: IRIPA organizers, then my executive members, then Makerere University SIDA, and then Mulago Hospital, and then Ministry of Health Uganda. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Let's have all the speakers on the stage before we start the panel discussion. Please, all speakers come to the stage. Before I open the forum for discussion, let's clarify some question, or let me give a brief summary. Professor Nuslin mentioned about that medical physicist is now included. Medical physicist is included in the ILO list of occupation. There is concordance between the role of medical physicist as defined by IOMP and BSS, then the European directives, qualified expert versus medical physics expert, roles and responsibilities defined in the IAEA publications, views of medical physicists and on duties and responsibility in Asia and Latin America. There was a lot of mention of diversity shortage and certification lack in certification. I did not find words if nomenclature of medical physics expert is used in Asia, Latin America, and Africa. Can I have the clarification right at this moment, quickly, from three of you?
No, we say just
medical physicist.
Yes.
Yeah, so that's what should be clear. So in Asia, just medical physicist.
Yeah, medical physicist for Asia.
And Africa?
We are using medical physics.
That's what I felt it must be the situation. Then I'm sure all of you have radiation protection officer or radiation safety officer in the three regions which we just talked about. Can I have a quick question, a quick answer from three of you on whether you have in your region a separate radiation safety officer or radiation protection officer who is not medical physicist? in the hospitals?
No, actually, AIDS is so it's different in each country, but the countries who are more developed, we have a medical physicist, also as a radiation protection officer, is the same person and can get the both certifications.
My question is there a separate person than medical physicist?
Separated.
Who is radiation protection officer or radiation safety officer? Something different from medical physicist.
Yeah, sometimes it's not a medical physicist. It's what we use, yes.
Okay. Other Africa and...
Yes, from Africa, we are having three aspects whereby the medical physicist actually is employed in the hospitals. And then the radiation protection officer belongs to the regulatory body. And then the radiation safety officer can be anyone, based in the hospital, but sitting on the radiation safety committee. However, because of the due to lack of qualified experts, you'll find some people share roles.
Okay. Thank you. I think with that, we have only a few minutes for the discussion, and this topic is such where we can keep on discussing whole night. So since the time is short, let us have quick questions, and we'll expect quick answers, short answers. Yes, please. Pablo?
Thank you. Just a quick question. Do you have any information into your respective regions whether the medical physicist is considered officially a health professional or not? Or in some countries, yes or no, but what is the view in the different regions?
Yes, from Africa, actually to qualify to be a medical physicist, you have to go by the IAA description of a medical physicist. And we really take up those qualifications for you to be a medical physicist.
Is it recognized as a health professional, or is a professional different than the
physical scientist?
Yes, from the Africa perspective of it, we are looking at different countries not having professional bodies recognizing medical physicists. But as it was presented from ILO, actually currently medical physicists is a recognized body, and from the African perspective, the Federation of African Medical Physics Organization, FAMPO, we are pushing for that.
Well, in Latin America, they are not recognized as medical physicists, as a profession.
You know, I really can't answer for Asia. It's so broad, so I just have to ask them if you really want to know the answer.
Next question. Okay, sorry, please.
So in Europe, there are increasing numbers of countries that have medical physicists recognized as a health professional.
Anyone more from the panel wants to say anything on that question? Okay. Any more question or comment? Yeah.
Final comment addressing the presentation of Dr. Asamgre from the International Atomic Energy Agency. I'm wondering a bit, introducing a new term, clinical qualified medical physicist, CQMP. Maybe this causes some confusion if we have in the same body two different definitions for medical physicists. Could you comment on that?
Like I said, this is from the draft report that they've prepared. But what they've recognized is, if you look at it globally, you need to distinguish between a medical physicist that's clinically qualified and someone who has just gone to do a medical physics degree. Mm. I think that's what led them to introduce that.
Okay, yeah. Thank you.
Any more question? Maybe I can have one. There are diversities, wide diversities. For example, I see Finland here who needs 8 years, I believe, of training to become medical physicist. And in developing regions, let's say Africa, Asia, and Latin America, how many years? 2 years of MSc or different? Including degree.
Well, to work in a clinical practice, you have a headless 2 years of a specific area. And it's not an obligation to have a master's degree, but you should have for radiotherapy and start for the nuclear medicine and diagnostic, but it's 2 years clinical residence. I don't know if I answered your question.
Maybe Pablo can add something on this. Is this?
In Latin America, Simone already expressed that there are many different types of training of what someone can say that is a medical physicist. There are after degree programs, there are residences, there are masters, there are doctorates, there are a range of different training programs that is very difficult to say which is which. So there is no homogeneous answer to that. So some of them are maybe one of the courses in Argentina is only 6 months for radiation therapy. Some other requires a master's degree of 2 or 3 years after the degree. So very heterogeneous.
Yes, I'm trying to answer in general or the most part
okay.
of the region.
Right. Any more? Yes, please.
As you have seen that in Africa, we have very few training centers, and most of us have trained from the same institutions. Basically, East Africans have always trained from South Africa by basically Free State and then
How many years?
Actually, they give a qualification of a BSc in physics. You must have it. Then additional clinical training of 1 year. However, having a master's is just an added advantage.
So after BSc with 1 year, one can become medical?
Yes, honors, which is a 3 year course.
Yeah, with 1 year?
Yes, and then added 1 year clinical training.
One can become a medical physicist.
Yes.
Okay. Any more inputs from the
Well, again, Asia is very broad. In some, you need a first degree in physics, and then you have you undergo a clinical training program in any of the specialties of subfields of medical physics. In some, like in my country, you need to have an MBS in physics or engineering, and then an MS in medical physics, and then you go through a residency program or a clinical training program in the field of physics that you choose. So it depends. It's the same as well, I think, in India, but again, I don't know about the other countries because my survey didn't include the qualifications required to be called a medical physicist.
Mm. Okay. Yes?
I'll just make a comment. I think one of the issues that was identified with this working group is the roles of medical physicists is not clearly understood. So in some of these developing member states, the definition of medical physicist is not quite the same as the definition of medical physicists in developing nations, for example. So hopefully when this report is published, there will be an international set of recommendations that you need to call someone a medical physicist.
Okay.
Can I do a comment?
Yes, please. Simone?
Well, I'm not sure if the problem is to know about what exactly the role of medical physics. I'm sure that most countries of Latin America know about that and are concerned about that. It's difficult to implement all this requirement to attend this professional as he has to be. But we know about this and we are very concerned about that.
Okay. I think we are about to reach our time. Any last question or comment? If not, I pass on to Professor Newsland to close the session.
I thank all the speakers, and I'm really a bit confused when reading the numbers, particularly I noticed from Africa as well as from Latin America, this is a huge task we have to solve to simultaneously implement equipment and education program to combat cancer, and on the other side to see these risks you have outlined. So we have really to think about how to improve that, and particularly also in the agency. It's not possible to go that slow path as we did in the past. We have really to think about that. With this more emotional plea, I want to close. I thank all the audience, and particularly also my co-chair and the speakers again. Thank you very much, and have a nice evening.
And teach it to grow. You may teach all.